glasses.
I'm gonna cut everything except for you saying that and then front load the episode with that. So hey everybody, welcome to Out of Dodge, a podcast. I'm Shane.
And I'm Trevor.
And on this podcast, we like to talk about video games and movies and television shows, and we usually like to complain about things that are not good. We have a lot that we want to talk about today. We're going to talk about our favorite friends, the Eternals. We have some new video game news, thanks to the Game Awards. We watched a terrible show today.
A lot to talk about.
Yeah.
At least two things. I wasn't listening. Is it two? Is it five? Is it eight?
We'll get there. We'll get to everything except the things we forget or the things that we cut.
Let's start off with everybody's favorite new Marvel movie, The Eternals.
So, yeah, The Eternals came out 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's hitting Disney Plus in January. So if you didn't catch it in theaters, prepare to be underwhelmed at your own home.
That's the best place to be underwhelmed. You don't have to go anywhere.
So, The Eternals clocks in at,
like 400 hours, right?
The Eternals clocks in at 2 hours and 37 minutes of...
So goddamn long.
...constantly stopping action. So, roughly, the plot is about a bunch of immortal warriors from space who come to Earth to, in theory, help guide and protect humanity. And apparently they've always been here the whole time since the very early days of mankind, despite never being mentioned or alluded to in any way, shape, or form. And you may say, well, why didn't they stop any of the terrible fake things that happened in the Marvel Universe? And the answer is, And then you're like, why didn't they stop any of the real things that happened in the history of humanity? And the answer is, So
they actually, they actively watch genocide happen and go,
we'll circle back to that. That's a huge complaint of mine. So the Eternals were sent to Earth to fight what things called Deviants, which are a bunch of weird, like, yarn monsters. Like, they're made out of weird gray yarn. They're very confusing. They're kinda very mean. Looking. Yeah, they're very mean. They're wet. They're coming after you, and we're fighting them. And at a certain point, the Eternals are like, well, I guess they're all gone. They don't really double check. They just kind of go, yeah, we're probably good. And then, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand years go by, it's vague, who knows. And then the Deviants show back up. Peculiar, strange. What does it mean?
Uh-huh. It's about a team of pretty out-of-touch, pretty jerky people who have vague powers.
Some of them are bad.
Some of them are real bad. Some of them
bad people and bad powers.
Kind of dumb.
Together.
And, they are trying to, some of them are trying to stop a big old space baby from coming out of Earth, because then Earth will explode.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems like a real unsustainable model of life.
That's the plot.
But, you know, that's just me.
That's the plot of the film.
The plot is that there's these big old space things called...
Celestials?
Celestials. And they create gravity and other shit in the world, in the universe. And there's one in Earth.
Yeah.
And, like, the civilization of Earth has been feeding it with, like, mental power or whatever?
And you might say, hey, the only possible moral conclusion to this problem is that the Celestial has to die because sacrificing that many people for a space monster is unacceptable. You would be correct, but yeah. Almost half of the cast, half of the heroes that you were supposed to root for in this film are like, well, I don't know. Maybe they would make other planets later, so, like, I don't know if I can help you kill this thing that would kill all of our friends and all the people that we've known and loved all this time. It's strange.
Yeah.
It's downright strange.
And not Doctor Strange, either. He's not in this.
No, he could probably solve it in 2 seconds, honestly, because he's competent and these people are not.
Because people are like, I guess we're robots or something. That's a thing that happens. Spoilers for Eternals, by the way.
Spoilers for Eternals.
I feel like we should have said that up front.
Okay, around halfway through the film, there's a big twist. I say with quotations because it's kind of lame. Where you find out that the Eternals are not there to guide humanity. They're basically just servants to Celestials by helping them grow beneath the surface of a planet and then hatch and then commit genocide. And you're like, you know, that should be a really shocking moment. But it's kind of understated. You just kind of find out, and the characters are like, weird. It should have been something that was revealed through a character's action. Like, a character should have had to, like, work to get to those answers instead of just being delivered the big twist of the film, because it feels really unsatisfying to be like, the movie will now tell you what is happening in the film.
Yeah, because what's her name? Cersei?
Cersei is the main, yes.
She gets this, like, I don't know, she gets to be the main Eternal for reasons. And then she talks to the big main Celestial, who's like...
I have his name somewhere.
His name's like Grisham or whatever. It's not.
Not.
But he's like, let me tell you the whole plot of the movie. Hopefully this doesn't change your mind about space babies coming out of Earth. And
Arishem.
She's like, huh? Arishem. That was close-ish.
Yeah.
So Arishem's like, yeah, you're a robot. Also, there's billions of you that are also robots. And also, we created the Deviants to eat other animals so civilized life can form, but also they also eat the civilized life, so it's kind of
they're too hungry.
But
oops,
guess what, we just keep doing it and we send the Eternals to fix it. That's the movie.
I have a problem with the Deviants. There's the main one, which is named Crow or something silly.
Sure.
And I don't know if we're supposed to feel sort of sorry for him, because he has like multiple moments where he's like, well, I just wanted to live and we were forced into doing this, etc. But also, they're barely a threat, which is probably number one. They're just not very scary. They don't pose a direct threat to humanity, so we don't really understand what the Eternals are doing. And also, the main guy is killed really easily as like an afterthought. It's kind of like, do we need the Deviants to be here?
We really didn't. And like, to me,
yep.
And this is a thing that kind of takes place in a lot of Marvel movies. You have like enemy fodder, right, that are just kind of around so you can have action scenes. And there's that one deviant that talks, which is like, you know, fine. But I would prefer if they had, you know, distinguishing characteristics or personalities or something that like actually made the fight kind of worth the watch. I don't know, or at least a way for them to have kind of more agency in it, you know, because they're just around to get smacked, which is like, it's fine, but it's not great.
I understand the impulse to have like a bunch of enemies, because it is cool to see like superheroes fight through a bunch of stuff.
Yes,
but you're right, they don't really have much of an impact in the film, and there also aren't really enough of them, because they're like, I don't know, maybe seven.
It's like five.
Yeah, it's not really that hard of a tussle. It's kind of like, no. Also, because they're not really the big bad guys.
That's
our sun boy, our solar man.
Icarus.
So Icarus, who is, he's very like the traditional Superman kind of powers. He, you know, he can fly, he has super strength, he has laser eyes. And he and Cersei were together, but I guess got divorced. Oops. I mean, not oops. It's probably the right call. He's a dick.
Yeah, he's kind of a genocidal maniac. But
yeah, because at first he's trying to be like the everyman, and you're like, oh, cool, that's fine. And he doesn't even have the scariest power, because the guy with the scariest power, fucking Druig or whatever, there's a guy who has the power to like mind control people. And the movie really, and maybe one of its few clever twists, is that the movie pushes you to think that he'll be the bad guy like for most of the runtime.
Yeah.
But then when we catch back up with him in the future after a bunch of super long flashbacks, he's like, yeah, I'm pretty chill, it's whatever. And you're
he's like,
okay.
I'm kind of a jerk, but like, I'm also not a terrible person like you guys, so.
Yeah, no, he tries in the final fight, and you're like, okay. But yeah, Icarus is the real shithead.
Yeah, the real D-bag of this situation.
Because he's like, well, I think that Earth should be sacrificed for an unknown, uncaring god with impossible power who would probably just do evil shit if we let him go. Everyone's like, that's not great. And he's like, also, before I told you guys all of this, I killed our former leader, because I just felt like doing it.
Yeah, I killed our mom.
That's not great.
It really isn't.
And we go to the final fight, which is a bunch of islands in the ocean, and there's like a volcano or whatever, and Icarus crashes the big Eternal ship, and we're like, oh no, not the Eternal ship. Mm-hmm. I hate this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about it.
No, it's fine. We can be done. We're not doing a play-by-play.
We're not doing a play-by-play. The ending is anticlimactic, is all I wanted to say, because it's a bunch of people standing around. Makarai, which is, I think is the woman who can run really quick, is the only one who like actually fights in the final fight. Everyone else is kind of like, oh, I don't know.
She runs real fast.
She beats the shit out of Icarus, and I'm like, this is satisfying.
She does. It's so good.
And then there's some more betrayals, and then people just kind of abruptly leave the team because they don't feel like being in the third act. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, though, Cersei manages to turn the giant baby monster spaceman into ice or whatever.
Marble, I believe.
Marble, sure. And the Earth is saved. And Icarus, like, looks at her like, I realize that I made a mistake. And I just tried to kill all of our friends horribly and brutally. And that's pretty unacceptable. And you're like, okay, he'll probably fly away. And then in Eternals 2, we can reach back up with Icarus. That's fine. But no, he just gets up and then flies into the sun and dies. Isn't it insane, though? Can we just... That's all I want to talk about, really, is the fact that a man in this, like, PG-13 Marvel film just committed suicide.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a sex scene, so, like...
Oh, yeah, it's awful, too. Very early in the film, to establish that Cersei and Icarus are together, they're like, we have to have a sex scene because we don't feel like writing the dialogue necessary to make you give a shit. So they just have sex on the beach, and everyone's kind of like, hey, why is this happening? And the movie's like, I don't know. And then we just jump forward into London or whatever.
They truly do. I'm going to say a controversial opinion.
Whatever. It's fine.
On this podcast.
Okay.
I didn't hate this. I had fun, but I recognize that it was a bad movie. Like, full stop. I'm like, look, I see every part of my brain goes, you shouldn't be enjoying this. But there's some parts where I'm like, okay, this is pretty fun.
There are moments when the cast is together.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, the charm comes through, and you're like, great. Never, you know, sometimes they'll have a playful argument, or they'll be like, when they're trying to meet up again, they're like, oh, yeah, we're friends from college. And I'm like, that's funny. But, like, this the structure of the film is, like,
yes.
The biggest antagonist of the film. Because we spend so much time during it with flashbacks that just don't matter. We spend so much time gathering the team that, like, kills the momentum of the film.
Yes, I agree 100%. We spend so much time, like, okay, so there'll be an action scene in London, and, like, monsters are going flying, and, like, Icarus is shooting lasers, and you're like, oh, intrigue, what's going on, this is cool, and then it's, like, Babylon, a billion BC, and I'm like, god damn it, like, no, like, move the plot along, please, because we don't have, like, there wasn't time.
Yeah.
We didn't have time for this. It's a 3-hour movie.
It shouldn't have been that long, also. I think you really have to earn that kind of runtime.
Yes.
And it did not, because of just the fucking nightmare pacing of this film.
If you could have done the movie differently, what would you do?
Two things. Number one, as I kind of alluded to earlier,
mm-hmm.
you know, Marvel is a very crowded universe already. We've had, like, almost 30 films. We have TV shows now. So much shit is going on. To be like, oh, and also there were the Eternals. Oh, yeah, they were always here the whole time. Is just kind of almost too silly for me.
It's a little goofy.
Because we're supposed to root for all of these people. You know, sure, some of them are flawed or incredibly stupid, but we're supposed to root for them. We want them to save the day. What have they been doing? Number one. Number two, mm-hmm. there's so mm-hmm. much horrible, horrible shit that they just let happen because, you know, the big red guy said, don't intervene. I think they should have been in stasis. I think they should have been off planet. I would have been fine if they had visited Earth on and off, like, when they were needed. But the idea that they were just kind of here, hanging out, World War II happened, and they were like, oh, that's pretty bad, I guess. Not great. I don't love that. It's just...
yeah. Yeah. Also, can we talk about real quick?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's his name? Festos? I think he's the first, like, openly, canonically gay character in the MCU.
A way that, like, matters and counts, I would say yes. Yes.
I think that's pretty rad.
It is good. It's very good. And he's very funny.
Unfortunately,
and he has a good moral center.
He's great. Also, he can hold his own against Icarus, which is, like, pretty nuts.
Sorry, I should have mentioned he did have some pretty baller inventions thrown in that fight. So it wasn't just Makarai, although she's great too.
My one thing is that, of course, they're like, hey, the gay character feels bad for causing Hiroshima. Which is, like,
it's very tone deaf to have, like, an American movie about superheroes to be like, yes, and we wept for the vaporized war crime bodies. And I'm like, that's just so weird and tone deaf. And, like, it suggests, like, oh, he helped work on the Manhattan Project. And I'm like, why would you do that? Number one. But number two, there was something else happening in Europe that I think maybe you also could have helped stop, and none of you did, and that's not great.
Yeah.
That always bothers me, and I know this is fake, and I'm not, like, you know, furious about this, but I do think it just kind of, like, it's hard to root for people who let these things happen.
Because Captain America was over there, you know, he's got it handled.
Killing Nazis, and it was great, and he was correct.
He's always been right. If I was to do this movie.
Oh, I didn't say my second thing.
Please, say your second thing, and I'll say my only thing.
My second big thing. My main thing is the ending is super boring and unhinged, and, you know, we have Icarus flying around, and then we have Sprite, a character we never mentioned, who's, like, eternal teenage angst, and, like, totally dragged the movie down. No offense, I'm sure the actor's fine, but just completely insane to have in this movie. But the final fight is very anticlimactic, you know what I mean? It's very slow. It's very, like, we have to walk around and stumble around, and we don't know where to go. Not great. Mm-hmm. I would have had Arishem show up, the big red guy in the sky watching the birth of a new celestial, watching the end of the earth, you know, because evil guys like to see shit happen.
Sure.
And then maybe he's sending more deviants, or maybe there are other Eternals coming because...
I would say other Eternals. That'd be pretty sick.
These guys on Earth have gone rogue, and we need to stamp it out. And he's not going to, like, snap his fingers and blow up the Earth because that might hurt the, you know, the baby or whatever.
Space baby, yeah.
So they have to fight, like, waves of monsters that are summoned by the god that they used to serve. And then they're trying to kill the new god before it destroys Earth. And yeah, sure, maybe Icarus is flying around being a dick. That's fine. But, like, the finale as it stands lacks any wow factor. Or, like, kind of the charm or the wildness of, like, you know, a Guardians of the Galaxy or an Avengers film.
Yes.
There's not, like, the flourish of energy that should be there. And, like, again, if we're almost 30 films into this franchise and you're introducing a new team, you really need to stand out more than just, you know, incoherent volcano fight.
No, okay, so in my perfect Eternals,
okay,
I would have that as the climax, because that's pretty dang cool, but I wouldn't set it in present day.
Ooh, okay. I kind of like what we're getting here.
It's just... Like, not that the flashbacks are anything to write home about, but you start at, like, the beginning, and you just progress forward, and maybe you do, like, 100-year time jumps or whatever, because they're immortal, who cares? But, like, you show them kind of, like, throughout history, as opposed to in present day, and then maybe something happens during their big fight at the climax, which explains why they aren't present. Like, maybe they get, like, sealed away in something, and they're not present after, like, 2011 or whatever, because then Iron Man happens, and so...
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty good.
Because I think, like, just visually, Babylon looked really cool.
Oh, no, I think a lot of things looked cool, even when, like, this shit that happened there was not...
Was goofy?
Yeah.
I feel like that would be the significant difference to make it actually feel kind of more unique and more special.
I agree.
Based on... their kind of their deal and their, like, their longevity and their immortality, right? Welcome to the next part of the show where we talk about the Game Awards. Game Awards 2020 won. I almost said it wrong.
You said that like we were in a different year, but we couldn't tell the audience, like, hey guys, we're in 2023. Hey guys, it's worse.
Yeah, it's been so much bad.
Dude, these fucking Russian jetpack guys are so hard to fight. Like, oh my god.
They fly now. Anyways, so there were a lot of things that were announced.
Yeah.
At the Game Awards. Not only the winners of those awards, big shout out to It Takes Two for winning Game of the Year. Pretty sick.
Yeah, a lot of fun announcements. One of the big ones, of course, was Star Wars Eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
New Star Wars game from Quantic Games. A lot of weird shit going on. Apparently, it's set in the High Republic era. There are some separatist ships in the trailers, so I guess we're fighting some robots and also some, you know, nameless scary armies and apparently evil goo-covered slug men. So that, fun. Get ready for that. It does look very cool and atmospheric. The website said that you're playing as different characters with different backstories, and the choices you make will, like, impact the world around you. I mean, to an extent, because, you know...
It's a video game.
We know the Republic falls and, you know, the Empire and the Jedi and etc. But kind of interested, you know. Didn't know what was going on in the Star Wars game world because no one will announce Fallen Order 2 yet.
Yeah, come on, EA. Where is it? And it's a little bit of a bittersweet, kind of announcement, because Quantic Dreams right now is having a kind of a big debacle, because much like Activision and Blizzard, they are currently kind of enthralled in some workplace issues where they've been accused of sexual harassment and not treating their employees correctly. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. Kind of excited, but also like, ooh, am I allowed to be excited for this? But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully that'll get resolved in a way that ends with the bad guys getting fired and the good guys getting paid. Another thing that we've talked about many times is Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, coming out next year from Rocksteady. We finally got more of like an actual trailer where like we see the game happen. Because beforehand, it's kind of been, you know, cutscenes and witty dialogue.
Yes, yes.
But now you see some of kind of like the Horde combat, and a lot of the members of the Suicide Squad have kind of been amped up, you know, in order to fight literal demigods on the Earth. weirdly, Captain Boomerang, of all people, has like speedster powers, or at least has like a boomerang that allows him to travel like incredibly quickly. And I'm like, I never expected there to be a game that made me excited to play as a guy named Captain Boomerang, but they've fucking done it. It looks like it has a lot of fun carnage. It reminds me a lot of Sunset Overdrive, which I think was super underrated and was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Like, it's very bright and fun, and I'm sure there's going to be co-op modes. It just looks like a good time.
It does. I'm glad we actually got to see some gameplay. What else? What else? Oh, Matrix. You guys like Matrix? So not only did a Matrix Resurrection trailer come out, but there's also a video game called The Matrix Awakens, an interactive experience set in the Matrix world, which is also 1999 or whatever. There is a beta on Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5, so I will do my research and get back to you.
Hey, everybody, get ready for Dune Spice Wars coming early access 2022. Real-time strategy game with multiple playable factions. I do not care.
Yeah.
And I do not want to play it.
No.
So that's my review. In other news, Crossfire X, a game that we memed about for like 40 minutes 10 episodes ago.
Uh-huh.
Not 10 episodes, it was like a year ago.
That was 10 episodes ago.
So Crossfire X, coming out February 10th, 2022, apparently. Remedy Entertainment, Jesus Christ. Not many plot details with this trailer. It was kind of a...
Very generic, almost.
Yeah, it was a little generic. You have, like, a suit that is really powerful or something, and you're invisible, and you can get shot and not die. I don't really know. You're just kind of fighting this giant building called Global Risk blows up, which I think is very funny. But that's kind of all you get, you know? It's definitely, like, the near future where helicopters are, like, 50% better than they are now. And
sure,
they're silly weapons, but, like, I still don't really know what's going on.
It's kind of weird because the last trailer we saw was really, like, story-driven. They're like, yeah, if he puts on the suit, the world dies. Which is what the meme was
for
us.
Yeah, really weird and funny, but I was like, okay, at least that's something. That's like a,
yeah,
you know, like an idea. But in this trailer,
yeah,
it was very like, you have a gun and you gotta stop him. And I'm like, who is
Yeah, and there's no character in this new trailer. So I'm a little worried that they kind of scrap some things. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
New Sonic the Hedgehog. I know, everyone's super stoked.
Yeah, that's it.
Not only a trailer for the new Sonic the Hedgehog 2, featuring Knuckles, played by Idris Elba, of all people. There's also a Sonic Frontiers game, which looks like an open world game.
That's wild when the whole mechanic,
right,
is just running. So we'll see how that goes. God, there were really just a fuck ton of trailers. Some of them are interesting, some of them are boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Monolith Productions is doing a Wonder Woman game. There's literally no information about that. It's just like, oh, hey, we're going to do this game. Apparently, they're using a really advanced enemy fighting system where,
yes,
the enemies will, like, remember you, and, like, the fights will change based on the world, and, like, oh, they'll adapt to your playstyle, whatever. That's neat.
It's called the Nemesis system, which they trademarked a couple years ago, which they used
in Shadow of Mordor, I think.
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. Hey, Gears of War fans, if you ever wanted to play Gears of War but also just didn't want to have to look at it, Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2 is coming out, and it very much looks like it has the carnage of Gears of War, but the playability of a better game.
What a fucking title that is. I'm sorry.
No, it is a huge title. I know absolutely nothing about Warhammer, and honestly, I may never learn. But after playing Vermintide 2, which is another one of their games, which controls insanely well and the combat's great and it's a lot of fun, I'm kind of excited about this. It looks very like, oh, you're, you know, a super soldier and you have a chainsaw sword and giant weapons and you're fighting xenomorph raptor monsters. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. You know, I'll do that. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm. Should we get to the big one soon?
What's the big one?
The big guy, the green Mr. Big.
Oh yeah, I maybe want to do that at the end because it's gonna get bitter town. You know, I want to front load with some happiness after Eternals. A new one that was like kind of randomly announced and I'm excited about, but also worried about.
Continue.
It's called Arc Raiders, coming out next year from Embark Studios. You're like kind of like a plucky resistance. It's a very Star Wars vibe. You are fighting giant alien robot monsters that are falling from space. You might be on Earth, I'm not 100% on that, but you're definitely in kind of like a decrepit, destroyed world, and you're fighting back against these monsters. It is a free-to-play third-person shooter with co-op, and I'm not saying you have to pay for things to be good, but I am wondering if this is going to be like have a story mode, or if it's kind of just going to be a bunch of disconnected raids. And I'm not saying that can't be fun, but watching the trailer made me really hope that there was like a little bit more, because they definitely have like the seed there for like a really interesting, fun story to do.
Yeah.
Again, it looks really cool. They showed some gameplay. You're fighting terrifying drones and like giant spider crabs and you're throwing grenades. And I'm like, okay, could be into this. But again, we don't really know a lot because it was just announced.
Yeah. And it kind of gave me like Earth Defense Force, like EDF vibes, you know?
Oh, and those games are very silly, but incredibly fun.
Like, just in concept, not in playability at all. But I'm just worried, if it's free to play, how it's going to be monetized. Because it has to be in order to make
in the
studio money.
In order for capitalism? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm confused on this. Curious.
But the vibe definitely made me excited. I was like, okay, I would play this.
I'm cautiously excited. How about that?
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, that's what we say every time we watch any like bunch of game trailers. We're like, let's hope.
So I think we have to talk about the thing that we don't want to talk about, but we got to talk about.
We've talked about Halo a lot on the show, and we're going to have a whole episode in February or next year in November. But the Halo TV show coming out next year exclusively on Paramount Plus, they dropped the very first trailer.
Well, it's a teaser, I would say.
All right. They dropped the very first teaser, the first fucking look at the show that is supposed to be. This Halo TV show is the culmination of like a decade of people trying to bring this universe to life on a small screen. We've had a miniseries. Yes. We had a bad spinoff movie that they erased. We've had a lot of good games and a lot of Halo 5. So, you know, there's a lot's been going on. They tried to make a movie a long time ago and it didn't work. And now we finally have this TV show, which, you know, there's a lot of pressure on it to be good. And we finally got a first look at the teaser. And,
It looks a little rough.
Yeah.
Say what you're going to say.
Okay, so it opens, we have a lot of asteroid cities and future skyscrapers. We have so many character close-ups. I don't really recognize pretty much anyone, which is not a good sign.
No.
We see Master Chief, you know, the main character of the franchise, the hero. We see him like 2 times. It looks really generic. It looks like it was done by a network that didn't have any money at all.
Well, because it was made by Showtime, so.
I don't really know when it takes place either. And you would assume probably around the time of Halo Reach, or maybe beforehand, because then you could kind of tell roughly the story of the first 3 Halo games. You know, the story that is worth telling before the dumb shit happens.
So here's the thing that Halo's all about. It's all about blasting aliens and then half paying attention to the directions of where you're supposed to go. And I did not see any alien blasting going on. truly no aliens in this show about
aliens,
which makes me nervous.
Fair.
I don't want them to be like, oh, we're gonna wait till the second season to introduce the Covenant, because also then you have a full season of Master Chief just mowing through regular human beings, which I feel like is unfair.
I don't know, Halo has always been a little silly. It has a lot of, like, genuine emotional moments and a surprising amount of heartbreak when, like, Halo Reach is concerned. It's very good, but it's also, like, kind of silly. And this trailer comes across as so, like, serious and pretentious, but no charm. No sense of adventure. No, like, oh, wow, we're going to space and we're fighting this war against aliens and it's fun and crazy. None of that energy is there. It's so dry and boring. And like you said, there are no aliens. There aren't even any alien ships or any signs of aliens. If you didn't know what Halo is about and you watched this trailer, you would be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
That's not supposed to be the reaction. That's the job of a teaser, trailer, whatever, is to make you excited for the thing. This did not accomplish that at all.
No, it was a lot of like slow close-ups on actors that I don't know, which is... And we watch a lot of shit, right? And that's kind of concerning.
I'm fine with casting, like, unknowns, but it's more that, like, the characters weren't super recognizable. And also, they didn't... It was just voiceover. And it was, like, really generic voiceover about how, like, oh, well, you have to believe to be or whatever. And I'm like, what?
I feel like there might have been a Dr. Halsey. I think we hear Cortana's voice at one point.
I do think she is in the show. I think we might have reported on that in the past. Which is, you know, very well and good. But, like, I hope that they could do stuff.
Something that makes me concerned is Master Chief's armor is so weird in real life. This is why I didn't want a live-action Halo show. It's so goofy in real life because it's really hard to move around in that much armor and also be, like, 8 feet tall, you know? I'm worried.
Yeah, it's not going to be, like, fluid or interesting like the games
are? Yes. I'm worried that he's going to not... Like, they're not going to put him in a lot of action scenes because it's hard to move around in
that
suit.
I would not be surprised if this Halo show tried to pull the shit where Master Chief is barely in it. I can see that happening. Now that you've said that,
I can see
nothing happening in this show. I can see...
Oh, no!
I can see nothing happening. I can see it. Now you've made me worry.
Well, you should have been worried.
There's a scene. I was already worried. I was worried when they announced this show 3 years ago. I'm not saying there won't be anything in the show, but I think it's weird the teaser held back so much. But I'm also worried there's not going to be a lot in the show. You know, so I got a lot of...
I feel like they might have showed everything that was in the show, which is two shots of Master Chief and then a lot of close-ups.
This is worse than Forward Unto Dawn. I'll be so mad.
Forward Unto Dawn's pretty good, though.
I love Forward Unto Dawn.
But also, you know what Forward Unto Dawn had?
Aliens.
Aliens.
There's only one Connecticut.
They're like, we're cops, but we hunt demons.
And the assistant walks through a giant portal
that he thought was art. The walls are shaking, mirrors are falling.
She sees the devil, and I think it might be her dad.
And I'm killing people, and there's a frog detective, and you're...
We did the music. Welcome to Middle Watch, the segment where we watch an episode in the middle of a show with no context. We do this out of love for television, because there's too much of it. And this week, we watched La Brea, Season 1, Episode 10, Topanga? Topanga?
Topanga. I have a pretty funny story to tell you about Topanga.
Great. Do it right now.
So, yesterday, I got coffee with my best buddy, Amelia, and we're sitting at this coffee place, and there's a train that rolls past, and on the side, it says Topanga Canyon. And she goes, oh, Topanga. And I go, uh-huh. And she goes... Like that girl in that show. And I went, huh? Which show, which girl? And she's like, you know, Saved by the Bell. How the fuck was I supposed to know that?
Is this her name?
I'm like, huh? There's also no character named Topanga from Saved by the Bell, which we learned later. So, pretty fucking sick.
La Brea was advertised a lot. What kind of segue was that? It was dog shit.
I mean, it was advertised in the sense where they were like, there's a fucking hole in the ground. And that's pretty much it, honestly.
Yeah, so La Brea appeared onto the scene with all these ads where people were falling into a sinkhole that also led to the past or something. They were very vague, yes. And they were like, hey, it's going to be on Wednesday. And I'm like, okay.
Primetime Wednesday. That's the best slot to have.
This was the season one finale, and it really sucks. That's it. That's Metal Watch. We're done.
First off, these sinkholes are time portals. So that's insane.
True. Very important fact to mention.
My favorite part is when people dig for like coal and like diamonds and stuff, they accidentally, if they dig too deep, they fall into the past.
Not to give this show credit, but they do lightly imply that apparently a bunch of scientists from the future did a big accident and that's why this is happening.
But that's not...
That's not good.
That's not either. Good
no,
enough.
You're right. You're right. You're right. But I just, well, I just in the universe of La Brea, it's not like, okay, well, if I dig 500 feet below ground, I go to the 60s.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. How deep, if the whole...
I don't know. Because at one point, he's like, deep. I wanted to fly a helicopter down here or a plane down here. I don't know. I think it's like King Kong rules, which means there are no rules.
Well, can't he still fly it down the hole that opens in La Brea?
I don't know if that's still open, because I guess they would have done that already.
Well, does the hole close?
I guess.
That's so stupid.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
How does the earth hole close?
Well, because if it was open, we would just rescue them in like 2 days, and then it would be over. And then we'd probably fire a nuke into the past, so nothing crawled back up, and that'd be it.
That's we it. Should do that with every hole. Well, in the earth. We don't know what's down there. The scent could be down in there.
Okay, so let's actually get into the vague plot of the season finale of La Brea.
So, well, I don't even know who the fucking character
is. So, the mom,
are.
Whose name...
is Mrs. La Brea.
Is Eve. Wants to... God damn it. Eve wants to save her son from a bunch of Arrow cult people. And apparently, the Arrow cult people are led by her husband's dad... Right? It's like the grandfather guy is the bad guy? Am I not?
Silas. That's his character's name. An old man in the past and grandfather of Isaiah that resides in the fort.
So Silas is the grandfather, and Isaiah grows up to become Gavin, who ends up marrying Eve in the future. So basically, she has to protect the child version of her husband from her father-in-law, who's kind of a psychopath cult leader in the dinosaur past that they're stuck in. All makes sense, right? Sure. She gets caught on purpose as a weird rescue mission attempt. It's not very smart, but what are you going to do? There's kind of a neat... There's like a debris field where they first fell into, like, the pit.
Yes.
That's almost something. Because you have, like, flipped over cars and, like, giant banisters and stuff. And you're like, that's almost interesting. It's kind of a Land of the Lost, timeless vibe. And you're like, okay. There's, like, a lab coat lady who is very obviously, like, a scientist from the future. And is trying to, like, blend in, like, no, I'm not a scientist from the future. But she also just straight up tells somebody that she's a scientist from the future. And she needs help with something, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's like a time science disaster in the future that caused all these ripples in the past that also opened sinkholes in LA, but also
Seattle.
The backwoods of Seattle, not actual Seattle. I want to talk about the bear trap because it sucks so much and it's all I care about.
I don't want to talk about it at all.
So there's two women who are like sisters, I think, walking around. Veronica and another one. I think Aaron.
Sure, whatever. I don't know.
Lily. I think it's Lily and Veronica, and they're walking around, and they're like, well, we should go to the future together because we're sisters, and Lily's like, I have to get back to my family or whatever. And then Veronica steps in a bear trap, and I say a bear trap in the year, like, I don't know, three? Not three. It's like fucking...
Woolly Mammoth time.
Woolly Mammoth Sabertooth time, and she steps in a bear trap, something that won't be invented for another, like, 200,000 years.
Yeah,
she steps in the bear trap.
Primitive people are they've hit like the Iron Age already, and it's nuts. They have like steel chains.
Yeah, she steps in this bear trap that can't exist, and she's like, "Oh my god, I need help!" And I'm like, "What?" It's always such a stupid plot point. I think bear traps.
We'll just open it.
And she's like, "Lily, you have to leave, and then come help me later." And then Lily's like, "Okay," and it's you know a very sad scene, but also pretty bad. It's a bad show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isaiah, who is like a very small blonde child, is almost abducted and then gets saved. They use the small pebble trick to distract the Arrow cult spearman. A guy tackles a spearman. Josh, who is Eve's son, is having time appendicitis.
Well, because he's currently getting erased from time.
He is getting erased from time because his dad is stuck in the past also, and that's bad because then he can't exist. And his sister in the future is also having time pain because she wouldn't exist. That's a whole thing, right?
Yeah.
The intro sequence happens. Oh, God. Wow. All this happened before that? What the fuck?
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's so much episode left. We jump to the future. Everyone is freaking out because there's going to be another sinkhole in Seattle because they have a giant magic time map. And they're like, well, based on this time map, there's going to be a sinkhole in Seattle. And they warn the police about it. And the police are like, it's a fucking lot to deal with because it's a time map from the super past. But they're like, you got to believe us. So they evacuate half of Seattle before they realize, oops, the magic secret time portal in the ground is actually going to be in the classic Seattle woods. We've all been there.
At nondescript campground.
But that's not everything, guys. So there's a secret network of caves with spooky traps. We have two teams. We have team... Forgot about the mom that dies of...
Getting stabbed? It doesn't matter. Wait, well, this is, she gets stabbed by a man with a stick after she shot him in the head and he's like, I'm still alive.
Oh, yeah, what the fuck was that?
Mary Beth, who's a cop in the real world.
She gets stabbed, but then her son takes out the dude and he tries to help her through the woods, but she's bleeding to death and she dies, but is like, hey, don't be a bad person again. And I'm like, what? And then she just leaves the earth. She leaves the earth.
Well, she dies, yeah. I'm going to spoil it because I was on Wikipedia because I was just trying to figure out if it was canceled or not.
It was not.
Apparently, her son is a heroin trafficker. So I'm like,
oh,
hey,
that's a lot.
That's not minor at all. What the hell?
So let's talk about the caves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so one of the characters is like, we need to go through the caves to get to the Topanga, you know, the famous Topanga Mountain, so we can get through the portal called
famous
the
Topanga
Light.
Portal. Yeah.
The famous Topanga Portal. I mean, there's a monument to it, even. They're like, yeah, we could go over, but it's takes a long time, but we could go through the caves. And
spooky trap caves, yeah.
They're full of traps. Chock full of traps, these caves. There's not a single trap. I'll let you know. Not a single trap!
The only real trap, I guess... I mean, it's more of, like, bad architectural work, is that there is a ladder, like, a fucking rope ladder, which I don't even know how it was constructed or put there. A rope ladder hanging over a tar pit. It's the ricketyest fucking thing in the world, and everyone has to climb it. They have to do it, like, one at a time, obviously, because it's rickety as shit.
Yeah.
Eve, the mom, comes so close to death, but her son, Josh.
Yes.
Saves her, and they have a good moment. I can't do Isaiah, future dad, tar pit, Mary Beth, Eve, rope, twist, Seattle.
Oh, yeah. They also drive from L.A. to Seattle, which is...
insane, yeah.
Insane. I've done that drive.
Especially when, like, if you want to have a relaxing road trip, by all means, it's very fun and relaxing and meditative. But if you think Seattle's about to be swallowed by a giant time monster hole and you have to get there right now to help with the evacuation, maybe fly.
Also, the dad's
is dying of time appendix. If your daughter is dying of time sickness, and your son is dying from time sickness, and your wife is missing in a time portal, maybe you should fly to Seattle.
Yeah, maybe it's not a cheeky 16-hour drive.
Maybe it's not like hey, let's go to McDonald's 16 times. Like, maybe get your fucking ass in that plane, guys. Anyway,
yeah he's a pilot.
It's so weird because his original plan is to fly the plane through the time portal in order to pick everybody up.
Yes.
So it's weird that he doesn't have a plane, but also at the end, the time portal opens and it's small. We'll get there. We're not there yet.
It's about 6 feet across.
Oh, so speaking of the bear trap, Lily... Oh, no, this is so hard. Lily was the girl who did not get bear trapped and she escaped. It turns out she's in the future and she's Ella, who's like another cop, mystery, whatever. She's part of the team or whatever.
Sure.
And she starts having memories of the stuff that happened.
When you have memories, do you just, like, kind of stare into the middle distance and then remember a scene you saw, like, 20 minutes ago?
Do you, well, what happens to me normally is, like, I'm having coffee in the morning, and then I just get hit with the sudden realization that about 10 years ago, I was actually in the past for months.
In what year would you say it was? Maybe 100 BC? Wait, no, hold on. They gave a number. They gave a fucking number.
Did they give
what
us a number?
It?
I didn't know
it was
that.
10,000 BC.
So where are we? Seismic readings.
Okay, so they get to the portal. They finally climb out
of the
caves. They get to the light, and fucking Silas is like, give me my son back. Eve's like, no, he's my husband. And then he just kind of gives up. Am I wrong?
I probably would have shot him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean... why not? You're not going to lose anything, right?
You're not going to lose anything. He already did the part where he gave birth to the kids, so we don't need him anymore.
He's like, the minute you leave, I'm going to kill your son. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, that's how time travel works.
No, I just would have shot him. I'm sorry. Like, one, you can't threaten my kids, you can't threaten me, and you definitely cannot threaten my husband, who right now is a child.
What a sentence that was.
Weird time at La Brea High, you know. But yeah, they just kind of chase him off, I guess, and he forgets that he's in the show because he disappears. Josh gets really sick with time, whatever. So Isaiah walks through the green light and time
sickness has been... and goes to 1988.
Time sickness has been cured. A paradox has been fixed. So the portal that opens in Seattle, the Seattle woods, is like just a person sized, you know,
hole in the ground.
A contrived person sized TV plot hole in the ground.
Yeah.
And the dad is like, well, I can't fly through this, but I might as well jump through so at least I can find my wife and my kid and we can figure shit out. Because otherwise I can't do anything from up here. And I'm like, that's weird because, you know, your daughter is there. And his daughter's like, yeah, fuck it. Let's just both go. Because we got nothing better to do. And then Ella, who is Lily from the past or whatever, is like, well, I did technically leave somebody bleeding to death in a bear trap that shouldn't exist. So I guess I'd probably go back. Also, everyone just jumps through. And you're like, that's cool. But then, what else happens? Something super stupid happens, too.
So they go back to the portal. And, you know, they're looking at it. They're like, look at this little portal. Look at this Topanga portal. And then it expands and takes Josh, his girlfriend, and Eve. No, not Eve.
Lily, I think.
Lily, that's what it is. Lily. And they get sucked into the 80s. Who cares?
So the dad, the daughter, and Ella, who is from the past, future, whatever, they wake up on a beach. There's a little crab, and they look up, and there's just a fucking mammoth walking around. And the mammoth's like, hey, guys, hope you're ready for season 2.
It's me, Manny, from Ice Age.
Like, that's great. Also, should mention that there's a giant, scary research tower. So I mentioned a lab coat scientist earlier in the show who kind of shows up and takes the comedic relief of the show, whose name I forgot. Scott's kind of like a funny dude. It's weird, though, he doesn't hang out with any of the main characters. But Scott's there, and he has questions, and the lab coat lady's like, I have answers, and then leads him through the woods, and there's a giant, terrifying devs-esque research tower just buried in the woods, and I'm like, that can't be good.
Nope.
And she's like, who knows what's in here? And then the show ends. So,
you know what, I'm gonna say something kind of insulting about the entire cast.
Oh no.
So, you know, in Lost, how like a plane crashes, right? And there's supposed to be like 200 people in the plane, and like some of them die in the initial crash or whatever. Then you have like the core cast of like maybe like 10 to 15 characters. That's probably overflating how many. But then there's like the rest of like the background actors that are kind of just like supposed to be there because the plane crashed. I feel like the cast of La Brea was just those people that they were like, we're going to make you main characters now.
That's so mean, but I don't disagree.
I'm sorry. And like, sure, they're giving it their all, but I also can't give a fuck.
I mean, a lot of it is, you know, the script is not doing anyone any favors.
No.
The pacing is pretty bad. A lot of times you can really tell when a show is like, we need to give just enough that it technically legally qualifies as an episode. Like they're not really interested in like, oh, how much story or action can we put in this so that people give a shit? It's like, we just need to move this product along and we need to kind of bare minimum this boy. And that's kind of what this feels like. There are a lot of scenes where people are like sitting on rocks where you're like, this is not a TV show. I'm not immersed in any real way, shape, or form. And it's just bananas. And one thing that I wanted to say is that, like, you know, in many ways, it's an improvement on the similar show, Terra Nova, where, like, okay, well, they added the better hook for season 2, or they added different world-building elements, or, you know, you had characters in different places. But at the same time, and it doesn't really deliver on the potential of a show about giant wormholes that suck you back in time. Which sounds like, oh, the possibilities are limitless, right? No.
Yeah.
It's so limited.
Oh? See, at least for Terra Nova, you had character actors who were truly giving it their all. And had a bit of a charm to it. Not good enough to keep it going, obviously.
Yeah.
But it had, like, at least one character you're like, okay, this guy is weird and larger than life.
The general guy? Is that
Yeah. And he's, like, entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's just a fun actor. But absolutely no chemistry with this cast or, like, you know, any standout notes, even, like, with set pieces, you know? Like, I know that big tar pit thing was supposed to be a huge nail biter, but I was like, I just know. I don't care. Like,
you know what? I agree. Even though I said that there were some elements that improved on Terra Nova, at least with the way they set up season 2.
Exactly, yeah.
The way that it's paced is so much worse. It's so much more boring. You know, Terra Nova, at least at the end, was like, here's a huge battle, and like this guy who's cartoonishly evil, and this guy who's like cartoonishly the general. And
like an insane general guy.
So some discussion questions I'd like to roll off before we close this chapter of our lives. What do you think caused it? What caused the La Brea space-time terror?
Probably like a dune worm.
Time worm.
Time worm. No, I mean, I'm thinking timerists, which are time terrorists. I think that...
It's obviously timinal, first of all.
Because like time criminal?
Yeah, yeah, but keep going.
Some timeinists, they maybe hijacked that building or whatever. Uh-huh. Maybe it was that that Silas guy and was like, I'm just going to make these things. Because it doesn't seem like they're a naturally occurring phenomena. So they're definitely man-made of sorts because she admitted to it in the final episode of them being man-made. So also, I'm curious if that's how we figured out that how they were made. With her just saying, yeah, I made them. Because if I was watching this show religiously, and Lord knows I'm not. I
never will.
I'd be pissed. I'd be like, huh, really? That's how we explain it? What's your other question?
Well, I wanted to give my answer to this also.
Oh, no, you don't get to. What's your answer? What's your answer, little buddy?
I think it was an experiment on purpose by some malicious government and or company from the future who's like, well, we have to be able to control time, but the best way to do it is to like set off these charges, but they open up, you know, tears in the space-time continuum that, you know, kill or mess up lives, but they're like, it's fine, it's worth it. I hope that it would be kind of like a malicious thing so that we have something to fight. Because I definitely feel like villain-wise, the show is lacking in a major way. It doesn't really have, like, a build-up to, like, an organization or, like, a clear threat. Because Grandpa was not cutting it for this for me.
No. They could also do that Tenant thing.
Or does it make sense?
Yes. Where they are... It's the future people trying to mine the past to get resources. That was Terranova, too. That's also Terranova. I mean, that's just a lot of time travel garbage, so.
So how long do you think until the whole family is back together? Not necessarily safe in the future, but how long until they, like, reunite? How many episodes into season two are we thinking?
I would say episode 6 of season 2.
Oh, shit. See, I was thinking 5 episodes halfway.
Yeah. Here's my question for you. Oh. How many seasons do you think we'll have until it'll be manifested?
3.
3? Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a bold take. This should not have gotten to season 2, but it did. It got renewed recently. They're going to start filming soonish, so that you have that to not look forward to.
I'm going to say season 2. I think that's the last one.
Ooh, that would be better for us as a species, but rarely are we lucky.
Oh. Do you hear that on the wire? Oh my gosh.
You're going to watch a city block get blown up by a jet.
There's a dog. There's a cool purple outfit.
And if you put it on, the world ends.
It doesn't make sense. Because
it's weird and in space, but on Earth, I don't know.
Who thought? Who would have thought? Not me.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Newstown, where we tell you shit you already know. We definitely burned most of our news with our game trailer segment. Mm-hmm. So that was most of the exciting stuff, but we still got some fun, weird things going on. I know I don't have the release date for it because I forgot to write it down. But there was the first trailer for Into the Spider-Verse 2, which is Across the Spider-Verse Part 1. Was released recently, and that looks super cool and exciting. The animation is just absolutely fucking brilliant. It looks like Spider-Man 2099 will kind of be an antagonist, but I think it's more like a misunderstanding tussle.
I think it'll be a punch a bit then we're mates kind of situation. Yeah.
Probably like, hey, what are you doing fucking with the multiverse? And he'll be like, I'm only doing this to stop this other guy. And he'll be like, yeah, oops, sorry. And then we'll stop the other guy and... We'll all be good.
Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be peachy keen.
But good God, Into the Spider-Verse is one of like the best animated and just best films I've ever seen. Fucking gorgeous and really good and really funny. And I'm really excited for that future. I'm kind of like seeing part one, unlike when I saw it with Dune, which made me feel betrayed. Seeing this made me like, oh, great, we're getting more.
Yes.
Because I'm super excited about this universe and I cannot wait to see it continue.
Me too. All those points also.
Yeah. Amazon has been shopping around or pitching or is about to buy or something a Mass Effect TV show. Like, they're nearing a deal to develop a series based on it. This was first announced around November 23rd. Now, we did report earlier that Henry Cavill posted an Instagram post where he was reading up on lore. And I'm talking lore from, like, Mass Effect 3. So the man was in deep. Something fishy is going on. Now, sure, he could have been preparing for, like, Mass Effect 4. He, you know, it could be a voice role, we don't know, but he could also be involved in this new show. I don't know if it's going to be about Shepard. I mean, that would make sense, but this new Halo show might not even be about Master Chief, so nothing's fucking for certain.
And there's definitely enough legs in the Mass Effect universe to put something like the show in a place that isn't just like the regular canon.
That's true, but I like what, you know?
Contact War.
Yeah, I don't really want to watch that, though, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I do.
Yeah, you do.
My problem with a Mass Effect TV show is that so much about what makes the game work is that it's a game.
Yes.
Like, Mass Effect, the trilogy, really uses the medium to tell a story really well, because not only do you get to create and pick your character, but you also get to pick who you hang out with, who you fight with, who you fall in love with, and then who you kill. And there's a lot of choices that help shape the universe of that game that really makes it feel lived in, like you're having a good time. In the TV show, that's not really going to be able to translate 100%.
Unless they do like a Big Brother thing where at the end of each episode you can like vote on who Shepard like lets die on an alien planet or
Ashley.
Vote now for the space races to get left behind.
Amazon has made a lot of really good TV shows, like surprisingly good out of concepts that you think couldn't work, like, you know, like The Boys or Invincible or other things. And I'm like, you know, I am optimistic about like, oh, it could look good or it could be cool and that they'll spend enough money on it. But I do wonder how much of it will translate or what decisions they will make, you know, in the show.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll
see. I feel many things about it.
I know. I can see them on your face.
I want to talk about Starfield. It's like, you have all these alien species, and it's great.
Or we have all these alien species, and it's really bad.
All these jungles and caves, trying to answer mankind's greatest mystery, which I assume is like the origin of
life.
Are
we alone? Oh.
Space. And that's it. I have a new segment I'd like to roll out.
Please.
So the cyberpunk segment has died. It may return, but for now it has been laid to rest. May it rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to start a new segment called the Starfield Update. It's a video game that doesn't come out until next November, unless it gets delayed. Which
are
it
you
might.
Kidding me? I'm not going to be alive next November.
I mean, at the rate we're going, man, with these
Uh-oh.
Wins. Anyway, November 11th, 2022 is the release of Bethesda's next big game, which hopes to be the next big thing, Starfield. They've released a lot of like little promos about it. They're definitely trying to build hype. We don't have a lot of details, like, story-wise, but I was able to pull a few things. It's set in what are called the Settled Systems. The year is 2330. You're about 50 million light-years away from Earth. So, you know, pretty close. You could probably pick up some eggs if you really needed to.
Swing by my way home, you know?
They said that there are these two huge factions. They're the United Colonies and the Freestar Collective, who 20 years ago decided to do a really big tussle, and they fought a really brutal war. And now we're kind of in peace mode, but it's super uneasy. And apparently, the United Colonies definitely got the edge, because they're kind of like the premier power and political force in the galaxy, and the Freestar Collective are kind of just hiding on the edge of space like, fuck you guys, I don't even give a shit.
We like it out here, actually.
We have a few locations. There's like a New Atlantis, which is the capital of the United Colonies, and it's like this huge gleaming space city. And then we have Akala, which is the Freestar Collective capital, which kind of looks like a rugged little mountain town. And apparently there's a giant border wall because there are alien raptor dogs on the outside. So if you wanted to know if there are aliens in this game, the answer is yes.
But they're raptor dogs.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be humanoid aliens of any kind, but there are definitely monsters, which is fun. There's also Neon, which is a giant fishing platform that has also become an LSD casino, because apparently one of the fish on the planet creates a hallucinogenic drug, so everyone's
sure.
doing that, so that's fun.
Sure,
and
why
it's
not?
Only legal on the planet, so that's also a fun little legal loophole you can enjoy.
Pretty neat.
Will this game be good? I don't know. Will it get delayed? Probably. But it will come out.
Oh, God, I hope so. That brings us to the end of our show.
Yep.
If people want to talk to us about our wrong opinions about the Eternals, or suggest a middle watch, you know, because we like to suffer, where can they reach us?
Well, we are at Out of Dodge Pod on Twitter and Instagram, so feel free to, you know, leave a comment, send a little message. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave us a little rating, a little shout out. You know, we like hearing from you. We like knowing that we exist. So that'd be cool. Stay safe. Get those boosters, everybody. You know, hopefully have a good holiday season.
Oh, yeah. Because it's the holidays.
It is the holidays.
On this and on this. And welcome to our video.
We had a reptile. We wish it wouldn't have been alive.